COTA just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your COTA fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with COTA. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
Merkle Media.
What does the goddamn line say, Tony?
Please do not use gendered language.
Then what? I'll be arrested, put in airport jail.
Well, you're going completely sideways, man.
It's a big club, and you ain't in it.
How dare you?
Mr. Speaker, the President of the United States.
I'm Chris Hansen with Dateline NBC.
Jack Mary is Tack Theratrix.
I am Spartacus.
Steve Jackson, Sacramento, he, him.
Steven Seagal.
Sex offender guy.
I'm Keith Morris.
This is Muammar Gaddafi.
I'm Rick James, bitch.
Sorting through the lies.
The hijacker's passport was found blocks from the World Trade Center crash site, if you can believe that.
We cannot track $2.3 trillion in transactions.
And uncovering the centuries-long plan for world domination.
Learning about Cuba, having some food.
Let's talk about Chinese people.
Have you ever been in a Turkish prison? Swangles in Fort Lauderdale.
I have sent six of my Libyan missiles to blow up the CS hardware department.
Nothing could be more fun than jumping off a cliff to German bisexuals.
Oh, you English are so superior, aren't you?
Thank you, comrade.
And now, macroaggressions.
That's what assholes call it.
With your host.
Buddy, I don't know who you are, but you're about to get chlamydia.
Charlie Robinson.
Hey, Whitey, where's your hat?
You want to drop the blame on Charlie and say it's all Charlie's fault.
He was a retard.
I get some goddamn diuretic.
Welcome to Macroaggressions. I'm your host, Charlie Robinson. If you are watching us on Rockfin, Odyssey, Band.video, Vigilante.tv, or you're listening wherever podcasts are served, thank you so much. We appreciate the support. You can rate the show. You can subscribe to the show. You can share it with your friends. We appreciate that. If you want to connect with me, the website is theoctopusofglobalcontrol.com. You can find me on Twitter at Macroaggressions. Thank you to our sponsors that make this show possible. I know you don't want to sit through the ads, and I get that, but I have to do it, so at least I've got to get you companies, services that make sense for what we're going through and what we're facing. I think Legal Shield has been a fantastic partner. They're relatively new to us over the last 6 months, but the response has been tremendous, and I know why, because it allows us access to high-powered attorneys in our area for $1 a day. I mean, that should never happen. Except that it does, and it has been happening for 50 years with Legal Shield. They've been in business in the United States and Canada for half a century. They have an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. You get access to a law firm that will knock out all these documents for you. Your last will and testament, your medical power of attorney, your financial power of attorney, all the things that you've got to have. You've got to have these things in your safe somewhere just in case something bad happens. You don't want to let the state get involved in your affairs. They're already bad. They're bad enough with their own affairs. You don't want them getting into your stuff too, especially after you're dead. Your family has to deal with it. If you don't have a will, you're going to put them in a bad spot. Don't do that. Knock this stuff out real quick. You don't want to spend $1,000 or a couple $1,000 to get all these documents done, but you don't need to. All you have to do, go to the website, www.don'tgetpushedaround.com. And from that site, you can see what they've got. They've got an a la carte menu of items that you can choose from. Legal Shield, ID Shield, small business plan. They've got documentation for people that carry guns. So, I mean, look, if you are so inclined, maybe just go over there and take a look and see if you think it might be a fit for you, if you need it, or somebody in your life. I think it's a I think it's a great way for us to get access to, you know, to level the playing field a little bit. You know, people or companies will take advantage of you if they don't think that you're going to do anything about it. But a letter from your attorney certainly changes things real fast. Now, please don't use this power for evil, okay? Only for good. I am begging you. But, you know, like, as they say, equal justice under the law. That's the lie they tell us, right? I don't know anybody that actually believes that. Not anymore. Not after you see how the law really works. Not after you see what happens when you've got a lot of money. The law tends to go your way. Well, you know what? It's because they have access to attorneys, and now you do too. Don'tgetpushedaround.com. Check it out. See what you think. Also, too, our newest sponsor, EMP Shield. Again, proactive, not reactive. Doesn't do you much good to have EMP Shield after the EMP has gone off, right? You know, hopefully you don't need it. But listen, again, 2 months, 3 months, a month, a year early rather than a day late. You just don't want to be late on this stuff. EMP Shield is making a product that is so high quality that the military was actually interested in finding out how they were doing it their way. It installs it to your house like a type 2 surge protector, just four wires. It just installs right into your circuit breaker. There's installation videos on their website. There's installation videos on YouTube. You can do it yourself if you want. You can have an electrician come in. It's not just for your house. They've got them for your car, for your motorhome, if you have one, or boats or generators. You can get bundle packages. You might as well knock out a couple of them. So listen, man, take a look. See what you think. It's many times more efficient than a single-use military design. It's a higher quality design. It's a great product. So EMPShield.com is the website. If you find something that you like there, you can use the promo code MACRO. That'll save you quite a bit of money on the way out. And of course, anything that works to support our sponsors also helps to support the show. And we certainly do appreciate that. And we're going to need it. We're going to need it. We're going to need all the financial support we can get, because I've got really bad news for you. The dollar, as you have used it, remembered it, you know, the old greenback with dead presidents on it. Well, that dollar, it's done. It might not have happened yet. They might not have had the actual funeral for it, but it's coming. It's coming. It's coming. It had been being debased for a long, long time. You know, it's no secret that they've been treating the dollar poorly. They've been, you know, when you've got the golden goose that prints magic dollar bills all day, every day, you tend to overwork that thing. And that's what we've done. We've used the dollar. We, not me, but the American government has used that dollar as a carrot and as a stick, mostly the stick. You know, most of the countries that are on the receiving end of the stick know what we're talking about. But de-dollarization, man, that's the term of the year. That's the 2023 term of the year. You know why? Because it's all happening, as Alex Jones says. It's all happening. America's bankrupt. We're bankrupt. We're like that drunk guy at the blackjack table at 3 o'clock in the morning. That's like, open up another line of credit. And then of course the pit boss is like, sir, you're looking lucky tonight. Yeah, of course we'll extend you this new line of credit. You're falling out of your chair and you're hitting on, you know, you're hitting on 18 and doing all the things wrong. That's America for you. Drunk at the blackjack table at 3 o'clock in the morning, just pissing money away, asking for additional lines of credit. That's us. Congratulations. Most prosperous nation on earth has printed its way into oblivion. But you know what? They have nobody to blame but themselves. There's nobody held a gun to anybody's head. They brought these retarded economists in early on that said, oh yeah, I mean, you could just print your way out of this. Oh, these are debts to ourselves. We owe these debts to ourselves. No. You owe these debts to a private central bank called the Fed. And you think you might owe that to ourselves. No, if the Treasury printed up the money, then you would owe it to yourselves. When a private bank prints up the money and loans it to you at interest, then it is not your money. You owe that bank. Why you don't just drone strike the Fed and the BIS is beyond me. I mean, if I owed $31.5 trillion to somebody and didn't have the ability to pay them and they were coming and looking for it, I might want them to meet with an accident too. But they don't do that. They never do that. They're too busy bombing Somalia and Yemen, but can't be bothered to bomb the real source of the problem, the city of London, not to be confused with London itself, but the city of London. And of course, I'm not advocating for actually bombing these places. I'm just saying that if I had a priority, you know, the poorest country in the world or the richest group of bankers in the world, I mean, I'm just saying, wouldn't shed a tear. But America, you know, look, the American public behaves much like the American government. Just reckless spending without much thought to the repercussions of it. Yeah, I'll put it on a credit card. Yeah, well, I don't have the money now, but I'll worry about that later. You, like the government does, and then what? It builds up and builds up, and then next thing you know, you owe $31.5 trillion to MasterCard? Great. Yeah. But, oh, I can't believe I'm bankrupt. I can't believe I had to file back. Really? Why? What led you to believe that you were going to be financially solvent when you were spending beyond your means? Well, for the nation, it's $31.5 trillion. For corporations, the amount of debt, there's $5 trillion of subprime corporate debt. Subprime meaning not the most creditworthy people. A subprime is the guy at 3 o'clock in the morning at the blackjack table. He's a subprime borrower. The American general public, the households, how much debt do American households have? Oh, just $17 trillion of household debt. That's all. I mean, put it on my card, right? We'll get it next time. The United States, here's a number that is so big, it's impossible to really wrap your head around. But let's allow yourself to try. Unfunded liabilities in the United States. This includes Social Security and Medicare. Would you even want to take a wild guess at what the unfunded liabilities of the United States government is? Keep in mind, as a barometer, something to, you know, play along at home. As a barometer, the United States economy's gross domestic product is $26.5 trillion, okay? $26.5 trillion every year is what the American business generates in what they'd call gross domestic product. $26.5 trillion. The unfunded liabilities for the United States, $173.6 trillion. So if we took every single dollar that came in GDP, it would still take us 7 years just to cover the cost of the unfunded liabilities. But you're not getting that Social Security money. Oh, no. If you're an American and you've been paying into Social Security and you're my age, which is 50 or younger, you are never getting that money. They wished that COVID had done a better job of killing those 65 and older people. They won't admit it, of course, but I guarantee you the government was like, man, if all these old people die, at least we won't have to pay them Social Security forever, you know? So there's a problem. Now, in the old days, meaning, I don't know, 80s, 90s, early 90s, before NAFTA, the American economy could always fall back on manufacturing. They'd say, well, you know, we can make a lot of this stuff. We don't have to buy everything from China. We can make a lot of it. I mean, we're Americans, right? We're Americans, as Joe Biden says, as he sniffs some kid's hair. We can't make this stuff anymore. We don't have the factories. We destroyed all of them. We allowed Rhodes Scholar, destroyer of nations, Bill Clinton, to come in and sign NAFTA, National North American Free Trade Agreement, which took all the manufacturing capacity of America and outsourced it elsewhere, to the moon, for all we know. I mean, most of it went to China. It just left America. So we pivoted from being a manufacturing empire to a service empire. Now all we do is have service jobs. Not everything. Not everything is that. I mean, we do use money to make money. We have that scam, which is just moving, shuffling money around to make money. But we don't build anything anymore. That's what China does. That's why China's kicking the shit out of us as an economy. Now, they have demographic problems, and they may not look the same way 10 years from now that they look right now. But right now, they're a big problem for us. But, you know, because of this, because we have moved this manufacturing base around, we're sort of limited in what we can do. But it's about to get much worse. You know, as bad as that was, the outsourcing of our manufacturing capacity in the mechanical industries, it almost wouldn't matter. Because right now, there's a new revolution that's happening, and that's artificial intelligence. And AI is set to replace a whole lot of jobs. Now, all those manufacturing jobs that we lost in the late 90s and all through the 2000s, those jobs, had we retained them, they would be in the process. It would have been a much better move for us to retain them. Obviously, we would have kept the Rust Belt, the central part of, you know, the Great Lakes area that was sort of known as a manufacturing hub. You know, that area, that region wouldn't have fallen into economic despair, but it did. So, but had it not, it would be competing against artificial intelligence right now, which is where we're going. And Goldman Sachs estimated that over the next few years, as many as 300 million jobs will be replaced by AI. That's what Goldman Sachs is saying. 300 million jobs. So that's worldwide. Obviously, it's not America. We can't get people to take jobs here in America. Everybody thinks they're too good to work. But they're talking about industrial jobs. They're talking about these jobs that have the capacity to be automated. You know, working at McDonald's flipping burgers, that's going to be old-timey, like a old-timey saying before too long. Everyone's going to be like, what do you mean flipping burgers? Man, robots flip burgers. People don't flip burgers. Like, oh, and back in my day, 16-year-olds used to get a job at McDonald's making minimum wage flipping burgers. People be like, what? I mean, why would they do that when you can have robots do it? Well, we didn't have robots back then, Sonny. Well, we do now, and it's already happening, and they're already getting replaced. Cashiers, I mean, do you really need a McDonald's cashier when you've just got a touchscreen? No, of course not, because they've got touchscreens in there in a lot of them now. You know, the touchscreen that will tell you that the ice cream machine is broken, like it always is at McDonald's. But it's not just the service, you know, it's not just these low-level service jobs that are going away. They're talking about technology industry, the service and retail industry to be the hardest hit. So it's not just the McDonald's worker making minimum wage, pushing for $15 an hour, and then the manufacturer, or the management of McDonald's going, hell, for $15 an hour, if we run the numbers on this, we might as well just get a robot to replace this person. We don't have to pay them anything. We don't have to listen to them bitch about how they can't come into work today or how they missed the bus or any of this stuff. We just got a robot. So you have to be very careful. I think that everybody should be able to make a living wage. But the problem is economics, man. It's just math. And if you become more trouble than you're worth, they will replace you. Because again, it will just be a calculation. It will be done on some spreadsheet by some person you've never met that said, you've now $15 an hour, we could just barely do it. Now you're pushing for $17.50 an hour. At $17.50 an hour, we go to robots. That's what's going to happen. So we've got IBM announced that it will stop hiring for jobs that can be replaced by automation. They're just not even going to be hiring them anymore. And they know what they are. They're keeping an eye on them. When those people quit, get fired, leave, whatever, then they're not replacing them with humans. They're replacing them with artificial intelligence. They say that 8,000 IBM workers are affected by that right now. So this is where we're headed. We've got AI expected to replace workers currently doing things such as writing contracts. So lawyers, it's not just entry level service positions. You could be a very talented lawyer who writes contracts, but you feed enough contracts into the machine and the machine spits out a better contract without a lawyer needing to write it, right? That's applicable and, you know, they can customize it however they want. Oh, this one works in this state. This one works in this country. This one doesn't work in this state, you know? So you can monkey around with it however you want. And it's going to start to replace a bunch of lawyers that write contracts. It's going to replace journalists that write media stories. So all the soulless clones that are currently working in the media are about to be replaced by soulless clones that are in the form of artificial intelligence. So you won't notice anything. There won't be much of a difference, right? Press releases will be written by AI. Software codes. Clerical workers are talking about bank tellers, are talking about data entry. Executive assistants will be a thing of the past. I saw a presentation at a Narcopulco that blew my mind. It was somebody that was doing they hadn't written the book on artificial intelligence, but they were talking about a book that had been written about it. And they were explaining with regard to, they said, you know, a couple years from now, like 3 years from now, it wasn't like 30 years from now, but 3 years from now, they said, everybody's going to start getting themselves digital executive assistants. And I was like, oh, interesting. And they said, yeah, like, you know, if you need to book a flight to wherever, and you just are going to tell your AI executive assistant, I need to go on this date to LA. I got to stay there for, I don't know, 3-4 days, take a look, see what you can find, the best flights, some reasonable hotels in this general area, and it'll do all of that for you. So that's where they said, and I was like, I was listening to this presentation going, well, that's, I can understand that. What blew my mind was the time frame in which they said it was going to be. They said everyone is eventually going to have their own personal assistant. They said it'll be so cheap that it won't be like a luxury. It'll be a necessity and everybody will just have one. So they put a target as that of that rolling out within 3 years. So yeah, so get ready for that. Chicago kids, Baltimore kids, they can't read, but AI can. And so I wonder, you know, you normally have a pipeline of kids growing up, coming into the work, you know, getting educated through school, getting into the workforce, and then becoming part of this machine, you know, entry level jobs, and then work your way up. And next thing you know, if you do a really good job, you can get good enough so that you can write contracts, write press releases, write software code, be a bank teller, be an executive assistant, all these things. If you work hard enough, but all those jobs are going away. All those jobs are being replaced by AI or robots or whatever. So now what? Now we have a generation of kids that are coming out of schools. They can't read. You have 50 schools in the Chicago area where not a single student was proficient in math or reading. Okay, that can never happen. And yet it's happening. So we have a pipeline of new kids coming into the workforce that are, by all accounts, functionally retarded. Will not be able to participate in society. So what do we do with them? They don't even have the option for a shitty job. They are going to have no job. So what are their choices? Become like a mumble rapper or go to prison? That's it. Good job. You know, so anyway, this is what happens when you screw around with your schools and you screw around with your money system. You start to create an environment in which executives have to start making business decisions based on their bottom line. And when you've got an option like artificial intelligence to replace humans, and you're not going to have to deal with the Social Security, you know, matching 401ks, healthcare, all this stuff goes away. All these additional things that employers have to think about when they're hiring people for their company. They're going to go to their HR department and go, how much can we cut? How many of these people can we cut loose? 30% of them? Because if we can cut 30% of them and replace them with robots and not have to pay them all this extra stuff, like, that's a calculation that it's just too good to pass up. So that's kind of where we are. So more issues. Let's talk more about the issues with the dollar, because the death of the dollar, the rise of AI, the death of education, all these things are sort of intertwined with one another. So first of all, I think it's important to understand that the dollar is printed by the Fed, the Federal Reserve, right? It's not the Treasury. Treasury does the physical money, right? They print physical amounts of money, but the Fed creates money and then loans it into existence, loaning it to the government, and then the government owes the Fed interest on that. So that's how you get yourself into a situation where you owe $31.5 trillion in national debt, like we have in the United States. Do you know what the interest payment on that debt is for this year? It's a little bit under $700 billion. That's just interest. That's just money that the government pays back to the Fed, a private bank. $700 billion this year. And when they default, then what? What does the Fed get? The country? Like repossessing a broken down car. Great. What are you going to do? Sell it for scrap? Probably. 80% of all dollars in existence were printed since 2020. Think about that for a second. Of all of the dollars that live in this world, 8 out of 10 of them are brand new. They're less than 3 years old. I mean, you don't need to know anything about economics or finance to understand that that's a bad idea. Well, I shouldn't say that. You should probably have at least a little bit of an understanding of economics. Unlike everybody that works in our government, they have no understanding of it, right? So the rising interest rates right now, they're killing America. You can't, this is like turning around a big cargo ship, like making a really tight U-turn. You just can't do that. You can't raise interest rates from 0% to 5.25% in 18 months and not have massive problems with that. You want to do it a little bit over time, a little here, a little there. You want to bake this in, fine. But when you make these massive interest rate increases, then you get what's happened with the banks. And the reason why these banks are going under is because the bonds that were bought when COVID happened and they flooded the market with these 80% of all dollars in existence, they went everywhere. So the banks, due to their regulations, they had to put that money somewhere safe. So what'd they do? They bought U.S. Treasury bills, right? They bought these T-bills at the coupon rate of 1%, let's just say. 1%. Basically, I'm going to get 1% interest on this, but I'm kind of forced to buy it. I need a safe haven for all this money that you just flooded into my bank. So I'm going to buy these bonds at 1%. That's great if interest rates stay at 1%. But when interest rates go to 5%, who do you think, when you're sitting on all these bonds at 1% and you need to sell them, you're a buyer out there. I've got two options for you. I've got one option that will pay you 5% on your money every year, and I've got one option that will pay you 1% on your money every year. Which option do you want? Clearly, you're going to go with the 5% option. So all these banks that are sitting on bonds that are paying 1%, they've got to get rid of them. So what do they have to do? They have to sell them at a discount. And when they sell them at a discount, they can't afford to do that, because before too long, they don't have enough. They can't manage that. They become legally, technically insolvent. So it's almost like they were trapped into this. Something to consider, that this was planned long, long ago to create this sort of collapse. So people are understanding that the banks are, I mean, look, on their best day, the banks are teetering on insolvency. Thanks to the concept of fractional reserve lending, which means for every dollar that comes in, I can loan $9 out. You just pray that those nine people don't come in looking for that dollar all at the same day. Because if they do, there's only $1 that exists that I'm holding on to. And there's $9 that I've printed out of thin air and given to these people, you know. So you've got just a mathematical catastrophe that's brewing in America. Add that to that the fact that America has used its dollar as a weapon. As a weapon of mass destruction, as a weapon for sanctioning countries like Cuba and Venezuela and North Korea and Iran and now Russia. We're going to get to Russia in a second. And that hasn't gone unnoticed, right? So you've got, you've got a bunch of countries out there watching the behavior of the United States, how they use their currency to club into submission anybody that gets on the wrong side of them. And now add to this, you've got Europe feeling the effects of the Nord Stream pipeline. It's a catastrophe. It's the end of the dollar. And that is why you hear so much about de-dollarization. But I'll tell you what you're about to hear more of towards the tail end of this year and pretty much all of next year. You're going to start hearing about BRICS. BRICS. It's been around for a while. It's set to expand. But this is a group of countries. It's an acronym. Of course, it's an acronym. Brazil, Russia, India, China, South Africa. BRICS. So this is a group of countries that get together and trade with one another and work well with each other. Not perfectly. They're not geographically tied to each other. Russia and China are kind of near each other. Brazil is, you know, nowhere near anything. South Africa, about as far away from these countries as you can get. Brazil, India, China, they do a lot of trade with each other. They're set to do even more trade with each other thanks to the Belt and Road Initiative. And I'm sure that's going to play into this as well. But there's more countries that are seeking to join this. And the reasons for this vary, but, new members that have applied to join the BRICS. We have Algeria, Argentina, Bahrain, Egypt, Indonesia, Iran, Saudi Arabia, and United Arab Emirates. Now, if those countries all join, then it's going to look a lot like a competitor to NATO. Even though this isn't really designed to be a military alliance, it's going to look like one, though. And interestingly, it's going to have a massive amount of people. The BRICS right now accounts for, just as it stands currently with its five nations, it accounts for 40% of the global population and 25% of global gross domestic product. So it's already a juggernaut, right? It's already a massive group looking to get bigger. And it's not just the new members that have applied, but there's also a batch of countries that have expressed interest in joining. Those countries include Afghanistan, Bangladesh, Belarus, Kazakhstan, Mexico, Nicaragua, Nigeria, Pakistan, Senegal, Sudan, which is on fire, Syria, Thailand, Tunisia, Turkey, Uruguay, Venezuela, and Zimbabwe. So these are the countries that are sort of not ready to actually apply, probably not ready to actually be absorbed in, but they are thinking about it. They're thinking about it long and hard. And the reason why I say that you're going to be hearing about BRICS for the rest of this year and all of next year is in part because there's so much demand for these other countries to want to join it. But the real reason is because the BRICS group has discussed launching its own currency. So if it were to do that with Brazil, Russia, India, China, South Africa, representing 40% of the global population and a quarter of the GDP, That's a legitimate threat to the dollar. That is a huge threat to the dollar. I'd like to see something like Bitcoin replace it, but I don't know how practical that is in its current incarnation right now. I don't know if people are necessarily ready for it. Maybe Bitcoin's ready for it, but I don't know if the countries are ready for it. But look, if this were to happen, if the BRICS were discussing launching their own currency, China would have to depeg itself from the US dollar. Right now, the yuan is pegged to it at like 7.2 to 1, I think. They'd have to depeg. That would allow, who knows where the yuan would be if it was allowed to sort of float to its natural levels, because it's being artificially pegged to the dollar. And that's being done for trade reasons and hardcore finance reasons, but it's certainly not because it's not because it's the best case scenario for China long term. I think the best case for China is to get away from America as much as they can, because they're about to get they might be getting close to getting dragged into World War III as a distraction to hide the fact that this global economic system is coming down. And it's coming down, all right. But let's talk a little bit more about this. So about the new currency. So there's something called the New Development Bank, and the New Development Bank was it used to be called the BRICS Development Bank. It was started in 2015, and what they do is they're planning on financing a ton of money. They're taking in a ton of money for infrastructure projects, right? So they're planning on financing up to $34 billion annually for these infrastructure projects across their BRICS nations. So it sounds a little bit like Belt and Road to me, because there's new banks, there's some overlap between the partner countries, there's this is for infrastructure, which is BRI is for infrastructure. So they're working their way. Now, they've already got this new development bank is already taking in more than just the five BRICS countries. They've already got Bangladesh, Egypt, United Arab Emirates, and Uruguay have been added as members to this new development bank. So they're going to grow. If BRICS adds the members that have applied plus the members that are expressing interest, then this bank will be, it'll be the new World Bank. Or it'll be a challenger to the World Bank, at the very least, maybe even replacing it. And so now you've got a real threat to the established new world order. You've got a real threat to the banking component of it. So there's something called the BRICS Contingent Reserve Arrangement, CRA. This was also launched in 2015. It provides protection for countries against liquidity issues, and it helps to stabilize their currencies. So from being impacted by a variety of global financial pressures, what they would say, we're protected from global financial pressure. Code word, we're protected against the IMF and the World Bank fucking with us, right? So this is, this group, the Continent Reserve Arrangement, CRA, the BRICS Continent Reserve Arrangement. This is seen as a competitor to the IMF, the International Monetary Fund, and the New Development Bank is seen as a competitor to the World Bank. So these are Rockefellers, World Bank, IMF. These are Rockefeller Institutes, right? So this is taking us away from the New World Order, and it's going to a, third world New World Order, or I don't know what else to call it, because it's definitely going to be a challenger to the establishment. And so when you see that, you go, well, they've got Russia. Russia's already a challenger to the establishment. China is in this BRICS list, right? So they can maybe make a case that China is the next boogeyman and add Russia and China together. Then you've got Brazil. Well, Brazil has started to announce some trade deals with foreign countries that are taking place in currencies other than the dollar. That's going to get them on the shit list. You've got India. India is no fan of America these days. India is sort of like done with us. And who can blame them? South Africa. South Africa's burning. South Africa is on fire. It makes the homeless problem in Santa Monica and downtown LA and Portland look like nothing when you take a look at what's going on in South Africa. It's really sad. But that's reality. We've also got, and I think this is probably one of the bigger threats to the establishment world order, is the BRICS payment system. And this is planned. It's not functional yet, but it's planned to compete with America's SWIFT banking system. Now, SWIFT is an acronym. It stands for Society for Worldwide Interbank Financial Telecommunication. It basically is the wire transfers of the world that go around, bank-to-bank wire transfers. They all route through America at some point. And so when you get on the wrong side of America, like Russia did, then you can get thrown off of the SWIFT banking system. And so what that means is that you have an inability to clear international wire transfers, and it creates havoc for your banks in your country. It creates problems with your country interacting with other countries because they're all on the SWIFT system and now you're not, and they're going, well, we don't know how to deal with you then. But when Russia took Crimea in 2014, the Americans threatened the Russians by saying, we're going to kick you off of the SWIFT banking system. Now, they didn't do it, but they threatened them with it. And what Russia did was they made a mental note of that, and they said, okay, next time we get on the wrong side of these savages in America, they're for sure going to kick us off of the SWIFT system. And of course, that's what happened recently, within the last year and a half, when with the Russia-Ukraine war, they kicked Russia off of the SWIFT banking system, and Russia immediately went to China and said, hey, aren't you guys working on something that's like a competitor to SWIFT? And they said, yeah, we already built something. It's called CHIPS, C-I-P-S, Cross-Border Interbank Payment Systems. And so they said, well, we can help you with that. We've got this system set up. India has this system set up, and then you in Russia will show you how to set it up. And so that's what they did. And so that's how Russia was able to sort of get around the weaponization of the SWIFT system. They just partnered up with countries that have a different version of it. And not small countries either. We're talking about China. China's the big one, and they know how to do it. And India, of course, China and India, we're talking about the two biggest populations in the world, are using something totally different. So, but speaking of Russia and India, Russia just signed a deal. You know, they cut Russia off from all of the trade. You know, they just said, we're not going to allow anybody to, you know, we're going to sanction them, and McDonald's pulled out and Starbucks, you guys know the story. But what wound up happening was that Russia got on the phone and started calling all these countries that were sort of marginally in bed with America, like India. And they said, hey, you know, fuck these Americans, man. Like, let's do some deals our own. Like, we'll sell you oil. Like, we'll sell you whatever you want. You know, we'll sell it to you at a reasonable price. In fact, how much oil do you need, India? And India's like, well, we've been buying oil from you, but maybe we should buy a little bit more. And Russia said, yeah, you should buy a little bit more. Let's do a deal. Let's do a bigger deal. Let's do a huge deal. And so they did. Do you know how much more oil India is buying from Russia than they were before the Ukraine thing? 22 times more oil. Not 22% more. 22 times more oil is being purchased by India now from Russia than it was before America kicked Russia off the SWIFT system and slapped sanctions on it. Because India just went, took a look at America and said, I mean, what are they doing? And Russia's like, you know, listen, they're trying to destroy us. They're trying to destroy us. And they're going to try to destroy you too. I think that's the point that the countries of the world recognize. What America is doing to Russia right now, they will do to you as well. I mean, Russia's a nuclear power and we don't care. We're just slapping sanctions and doing all kinds of things to try and destroy them. And the countries around the world, they are taking notice. And they're like, oh, well, it's only a matter of time before we're next, unless all of us partner up against America. and against that empire. And that's exactly what's happening at a time when the dollar does not need that. At a time when, you know, it would be kind of helpful to still have that petrodollar arrangement, a real solid one locked in place. I mean, if you're going to fucking hyperinflate the currency by, you know, creating 80% of all dollars and just in the last 3 years, you most definitely want to have your scam working, your petrodollar arrangement. You want to have that dollar world's reserve currency status locked in before you do something like that. And they don't have it locked in. In fact, it's the most unstable it's ever been. I mean, in the 70s, when the petrodollar arrangement was laid out between Saudi Arabia and the United States, the United States was buying 2.5 million barrels of oil a day from them. We could make whatever sort of arrangements we wanted. Plus, we had a really strong military. And we said, listen, you sell oil in only dollars and we'll protect you. We'll be your big brother bodyguard so that you can continue chopping heads and doing whatever you want. And we'll protect the kingdom because we're your biggest buyers, but you got to work with us. You got to only sell it in dollars. That'll create artificial supply for our dollars, which will be great for us. Well, okay. 50 years later, now what? Well, now China is buying 2.5 million barrels of oil a day from the Saudis and we're buying 400,000 barrels. So now all of a sudden, who's the priority? If you're running a business and somebody's buying 2,500 widgets from you and the other people are buying 400 every year, who's your priority? Of course. I mean, so China is now talking to the Saudis and saying, hey, listen, you know, petro yuan has a nice ring to it. You know, I mean, we are, after all, your biggest supporters, your biggest buyers right now. And we're not bloodthirsty savages that go invade all these other countries like your current partner, America, is. They're making you look bad. I mean, we're China. We just want to run our slave camps and enslave the Uyghurs and turn our citizens into robots and, you know, but we're not looking to invade anybody. I mean, they talk about Taiwan, but they haven't invaded Taiwan. So it's a better deal for the Saudis. It's a much better deal for the Saudis. And right now, I think that, listen, the sanctions backfired with Russia. They just did. And so, you know, only a few Western countries participated in this sanctioning of Russia. Now, if you're in the Western countries and you turn on the news, they would have you believing that it is a worldwide embargo against Russia. That is not the case. That is most definitely not the case. In fact, it is only a very, very small sliver of the world that is in any way, shape, or form sanctioning Russia. It's the West. And the rest of the countries, there's over 100 other countries that have increased their imports of Russian oil, gas, grain, and other products that they sell. So if you watch CNN, they'll have you believe that, oh, Russia's just been choked out, like that guy on the subway. It's being choked out, you know? They're just cutting off all the oxygen to it. All these countries, nobody will do business with them. Nobody will buy their stuff. Nobody will open their stores. We're closing all of our Levi's factories in Russia. We're closing the McDonald's. We're out of there. Everybody's out of there. No, they're not. No, they're not. No. Again, the media is lying to you. 100 countries have increased their imports of Russian goods. So not only are they not banning Russia, they're buying more than they've ever bought from Russia. And, you know, listen, let's be honest here. Russia picked up the phone and called Iran and said, hey, you guys have been sanctioned by America for like 45 years. How do you guys have any tips for how to get around it? They're like, grab a pen and paper. How much time do you have? Yeah, we will tell you all our tricks. I mean, we want to do business with you. So they're getting around sanctions by learning from countries that have been getting around American sanctions for decades. And on top of that, Russia did something really smart. This is something that it's a catastrophe for the dollar. This is one of the reasons why you hear the term de-dollarization so much, is because everyone had thought that the idea of a gold-backed currency was never going to happen. That was something that was, old time money, gold, right? Well, Russia backed its ruble with 1 gram of gold for every 5,000 rubles. And because Russia's been hoarding gold, been secretly buying it on the down low for a long, long time, because they know what it is. They know it's worth something. They know it's worth more than stacking vaults filled with U.S. Federal Reserve notes that are inflating themselves away to nothing. So they back their currency with gold. And you can watch on the chart, you can see when the sanctions kicked in, the value of the ruble dropped, like fell off a cliff. And then they made the announcement of the gold-backed ruble and it shot right back up. And so the chart looks like a V. It goes all the way down and it goes all the way right back up to right where it was before. So America's sitting there going, shit, they pulled a fast one on us, you know? The United States is like Wile E. Coyote, and Russia is the Roadrunner. And they're you know, filling up the bird seed and waiting for the Roadrunner, and the Roadrunner doesn't come. So they go and look at the bird seed, and then the boulder falls on their head. And that's America. So inflation is high in the United States. Inflation was supposed to be high in Russia. It was part of this strategy of crippling them financially. Inflation is actually low in Russia. Isn't that funny? Isn't that weird? It's almost like it's backwards. While Germany, who is a member of NATO, how are things in Germany going after the old Nord Stream 2 pipeline just up and exploded itself for no good reason? Well, Germany has been forced to restart 3 mothballed nuclear power plants because the terrorist in chief, Joe Biden, blew up their goddamn pipeline. The Russian-German Nord Stream pipeline. And then had the audacity to lie to the general public and say, oh, it must have been the Ukrainians. Or maybe it was the Russians. I mean, they should have just said aliens. It would have been a better story. At least a little bit more believable. But again, I think that put yourself in the position of all the countries around the world that are watching how the United States behaves with Russia. They're taking notes on this. They're watching them. They realize that the United States was weaponizing the SWIFT system, the dollar system, by freezing Russian currency reserves and stealing them. That's what we did. We, not you and me, but the American government. That's what the American government did. It froze Russia's currency reserves, which are needed, you know, when you're dealing with, you got to have sort of you got to have enough money in the bank account to handle the liquidity ebbs and flows. And America froze the liquidity bank that, you know, that Russia had all its money and stole it. And you know how much that was? $300 billion. You want to talk about forget Ocean's 11, man. Nord Stream 2, Electric Boogaloo, stealing $300 billion. That's what America did. We're criminals on top of being murderous thugs. We're just common criminals. We're Hans Gruber. And since we're extending this to kidnapping, you should show more respect, right? The yuan is now the most traded currency in Russia, overtaking the dollar. And while Russia is buying literal tons of gold. Let's pivot. Let's move on to China. China is a big player in this, right? We can't pretend like China doesn't have a role in this. They most certainly do. China holds $1 trillion of U.S. treasuries. That's debt. And actually, as of now, this is a 12-year low. They've been selling it out the back door, kind of like, hey, you know, take some of this these treasuries off our hands because we don't want it anymore. We don't need it anymore. And if you sell too much of it too quickly, you can tank the value of the dollar and start a, you know, you could just start a bank run essentially by selling everything all at once. You never want to do that, whether it's, you know, your crypto holdings or whatever. You sell it all at once, it sort of drives the price down. If you can do it a little bit here, a little bit here, you know, force selling over time, it sort of wipes out the peaks and valleys of it. But if you dump it all on the market all at once, it'll drive it straight down. And now, of course, China could do that. They would be, in essence, slitting their own throat by participating in that economically. But there may come a time when they need to. But again, economic warfare first, trade war second. You know, we're in an economic war with China. It's just not declared, and that's a bad enemy to have. You could say what you want about the Chinese. I'm ideologically opposed to that form of government. I'm opposed to all forms of government, but I'm specifically against theirs. They've got a very unusual style, and I don't like it, and I don't think the people are all that happy there. But that's an enemy you don't want, you know, for a variety of reasons. Okay, on a consumer basis level, 80 to 90% of the pharmaceutical drugs that Americans consume are made in China. 97% of all antibiotics are made in China. If you get on the wrong side of these people because you're fucking around with the currencies, they can turn off the spigot. And you think the scene is bad on New York subways or in downtown San Francisco or in the middle of the street in Portland where some guy's taking a dump. You take these people off of their SSRI medications all at once, because nobody can get it, and all the crazy people are now extra crazy. Good luck with that. I mean, we already have a mental health crisis. We have people on so many pills. You can't just shut off the spigot all at once. China could do it. They most definitely could. But let's look at this from another standpoint. They're not just sending us all of their pharmaceuticals. They're sending us fentanyl too. And I don't want to sound like Fox News and the Chinese are the worst, you know, and everything. I'm not going to fall into that trap. But they've got a long memory. That's a culture that's been around for thousands and thousands and thousands of years. They didn't forget what the British did to them during the Opium Wars. They didn't forget. And they know that you can destroy a country by flooding it with drugs. They were on the receiving end of that. So, is there a huge push by the Chinese government to crack down on exporting fentanyl to Mexico and then eventually into the United States? Probably not. Oh no, there goes a big shipment of fentanyl off to Mexico. Well, if only we could have stopped it, wink, wink. I mean, you just soften up America from the inside if you want to fight that battle. World War III is going to look a lot different than what people think. It's not going to be trench warfare like World War I. It's not going to be the Luftwaffe like World War II. It's going to be asymptomatic. Asymmetrical is the word I was looking for, where coming from different angles: currency wars, import wars, drug wars, meaning flooding you with drugs. They could do that. They could easily do that. Hollowing you out culturally from the inside: tranny story time, my two mommies, everybody's trans, I'm cake gendered, you know, all that shit. What is it? You just let that run long enough and you soften up the country. Watch their currency collapse so they no longer have that going for them. Watch their military go woke. Fuck, if you're China, you're just like, hold the line. Just wait, baby. Just wait for them to destroy themselves under the weight of their own hubris. That's where we're going in America. So, you know, the U.S. is trying to disrupt that Belt and Road Initiative. They're trying to throw monkey wrenches in there. We'll see how that plays out. There's still 30 more years left of that. we've got the Shanghai Cooperative Organization, which is mostly focused on security. We've got them naming Saudi Arabia as a dialogue partner. Dialogue partner. Who else is part of the Shanghai Cooperative Organization? Well, India, Pakistan, Iran, and maybe eventually Saudi Arabia. So what does that do? I'd say it takes you one step closer to a petro-yuan relationship. When you've got a focus on security, a Saudi Arabia-China oil partnership, and you start to fold them into the Shanghai Cooperative Organization, and you say, well, we're all going to look out for each other, you know, from a security standpoint. And Saudi Arabia says to China, like, we like that. We'd love to have you look out for us because over our shoulder is the lunatic United States government who's like a crazy ex-boyfriend who's chasing them, right? And so Saudi Arabia is going to China going, hey, man, you got to do something about these lunatics. That we know what the Americans are capable of. If we break this petrodollar arrangement, they're going to come for us. They will start dropping bombs on our refineries. If you want to do this deal with us, you're going to have to promise us the protection that they once promised us. So it's pushing that way. Syria is pushing to ditch the dollar and use the yuan. They're also doing far more business with Iran than they ever have before. But, so from an international standpoint, as far as trade goes, China, Russia, all of the India, all these groups, it's not good for the dollar. I've never seen it this fragile. I've never seen a situation that it was this, where the dollar seemed vulnerable. But it is. And I'll tell you, here's a good stat for you. In 1999, central bank foreign reserves were 70% of them were U.S. dollars. So in these foreign reserves of central banks, they were holding 7 out of every 10 units of currency that they had were dollars. 70% U.S. dollars. In 2021, that percentage dropped to 58%. So from 70% of all the holdings dollars to 58%, that's a huge drop. But guess what? Since the Russia thing started, it's now at 47%. So to go from 70% of the central bank foreign reserves being US dollars down to 47%, that should never happen. I mean, people are going to look back on this and they're going to say, of course the dollar was collapsing. Of course it collapsed. What did you think was going to happen? It might be the best of the worst right now, right? It might be that it collapses last. But do you really care? It's going to collapse. It's just math at this point. China is the largest trading partner to 61 different countries. America is the largest trading partner to only 30. But why would we be trade? We don't manufacture anything anymore. China does because of NAFTA. Bill Clinton, Rhodes Scholar, Wolf in Sheep's Clothing. Trade between China and Brazil is up 10% in just 1 year. Just 1 year. Look, if you get 10% more sales at your hot dog stand, that's a pretty good deal. Like you're pretty stoked about that. But you're running a small business. 10% increases and things like that. Yeah, I mean, you can do that. That's done all the time. But to be China and Brazil, two countries that have been around for a very long time, and to see and that have done trade with each other for a very long time, to see that trade increase by 10% in just 1 year is astronomical. I mean, normally it's like a fraction of a percent. But for it to be 10%, that's a sign. They're simply going around America. And why wouldn't they? And this, again, you've got, this is while Lula, the new socialist president of Brazil, calls for, quote, reduced reliance on U.S. dollar moving forward. Brazil's out, you know, but again, they're the B in BRICS. France wants out of the dollar. They've made announcements that they want out. Zimbabwe goes gold-backed currency now. I guess they got tired of printing those trillion-dollar notes. And decided, well, maybe we should have some currency that's backed by something other than a Zimbabwe central bank promise. Really? You think so? Good idea. Malaysia's prime minister wants to set up an Asian monetary fund to, quote, reduce reliance on the U.S. dollar. Got a lot of people talking about using the same terminology. Lula says reduced reliance on U.S. dollar. The Malaysian prime minister says reduced reliance on the U.S. dollar. It's almost like they had a big meeting and decided that the dollar is done. Indonesia is pushing to settle trades in local currencies in order to, quote, cut their reliance on foreign currencies like dollars, euro, and yen. You've got the United Arab Emirates and India are using rupees to settle trade instead of the dollar. Again, these things would get you bombed. Look at Saddam Hussein. Look at Muammar Gaddafi. Anybody that's tried to go around the dollar, get some democracy dropped on them. Now countries are doing it and not even facing any sort of repercussions. The dam is breaking. The leaks are springing all over it. It's unstoppable at this point. The U.S. is terrified of Bitcoin. They, you know, because it has a cap supply, a 21 million cap supply, so the SEC is fighting it. Silicon Valley Bank and other recent banks that have collapsed have ties to the crypto industry quite a bit. It seems that, you know, it seems like the United States is a dangerous animal right now that's being backed, kind of backed into a corner. I'm an American. I love American people. I don't love the American government. As an objective person taking a look at this, I can't say that the United States doesn't have it coming to them. You've been acting like an asshole for a long, long time to a lot of these countries, and now they're ganging up on you, and they're done with it. So, but it's a dangerous time for them. Well, for everyone, really, but because when America feels like they have nothing left to lose, then what? You already know that these people are psychopathic in their way of thinking. So I guess it depends on what the script says. I guess it depends on what the real bosses of this world want. And if it's a controlled demolition of America, then that's going to happen. That's going to happen soon. But the timing. It's up to the real people that are in charge, the people that run the bank, the people that own the banks, the people that are the committee of 300. What do they want? Whatever they want, that's how it's going to go. That's my guess. The green agenda, it will eventually destroy America's energy sector. We know that. It's just a non-starter. And by default, that will be a catastrophe for the dollar. So let's talk about this. Let's talk about this, wrap up with this. What happens in America when the dollar fades or fails? Well, hyperinflation. You think $10 eggs are bad now. Wait till all of those dollar bills are no longer needed because you don't need them to buy oil anymore. And these central bank foreign reserves drop from 70% to 47%. What if they drop to 2%? And all that money comes back. What's it going to look like? It's going to look like hyperinflation. After the petrodollar ends, we are going to be on the receiving end. Things won't be priced in dollars anymore. They'll be priced in something else. That's the real key here. The world's reserve currency status, that ends. That just goes away. You know, we don't deserve that. We have been spoiled. We have used it as a tool for destruction, and we don't deserve it. Massive unemployment, third world status, civil unrest, high prices for everything, stagflation, you name it. It's all coming. 20% maybe like wealthy people in America, 80% dirt poor, no middle class. Middle class is dead, evaporates. You're either with the rich people or you're done. You'll never be able to catch up. If you don't own a house, you'll never own a house. Nobody in your family will ever own a house. You're either going to be, they will close the door to that option forever. So the dollar Ponzi scheme is basically running out of suckers. Enough people have been burned by it. Enough people have seen the weaponization of it. They've seen it used as a tool of oppression around the world, and they're done. Those that have gold, those that have silver, those that have Bitcoin or Monero or something that's, you know, limited supply, capped supply, something that can't be hyperinflated into infinity. People that have land, productive farmland, water, water rights, things like that, those people will be fine. People that are sitting on big bank accounts at Wells Fargo that have, I've got $6 million in my bank account at Wells Fargo, I'm set. No, you're not. You'll be broke soon when that gets hyperinflated away or there's a bank run, the bank keeps it due to a bail-in, whatever. You've got to be proactive. We've just got to. But central banks have been buying gold at the fastest pace since 1967. They know what's going on. They're taking fiat currencies and trading them for tangible assets like gold. The central banks are doing that at the fastest rate in over 50 years. So don't you think they know something you and I don't know? Of course. But don't worry, everybody. We'll end on this. Don't worry. Joe Biden is here to save everybody. He's here to reimagine economics because and the home buying process too, because they have just announced a new process in which for mortgages, home mortgages, and you might want to buckle up for this one. And as somebody that comes out of real estate, I cannot even express to you my level of anger with what they're doing. They are going to destroy the home buying industry. When you go to apply for a mortgage now in America, it used to be the higher your credit score, meaning the over time you've done a good job of paying your bills, not getting late, not falling behind, borrowing money, paying money back, you've built up a reputation. I don't like the idea of credit scores. I don't like the idea of social credit scores or anything like that. But that's the system that has been in place. If you have good credit, you get a good interest rate because the bank says you look like somebody that might probably pay us back. And we like that. So we're going to charge you a little bit less money because you're a less risk. Not under Biden. No, no. Now what the Biden administration has done, the lower your credit score, and I swear to God, I'm not making this up. The lower your credit score, the lower your interest rate will be. The higher your credit score, the higher your fees will be and your interest rate will be. Because they want everybody to be equally screwed. Hey, if you like this episode, you can take the additional step right now of sharing it with your friends and family. You can follow me on Twitter at macroaggression or go to the website, theoctopusofglobalcontrol.com. Thanks, everybody. I'll talk to you again soon.
Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money. But nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals. Whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation, Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of US soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right.